There was a question in a debate last week that goes to the issue of military records of various people, and we have a Slate explainer about that. I'll set this up by saying that the filmmaker and political gadfly Michael Moore was on a platform with General Clark last week, and he said that President Bush was a deserter. In the course of the subsequent political debate, people asked General Clark, well, why didn't you challenge him on that? And General Clark said, I don't really know what the issue is. We asked Slate's Brendan Koerner to do an explainer feature on exactly what it is that Michael Moore is talking about. Stay with us, Chris, while Brendan examines whether the military definition of desertion fits the particulars of President Bush's case.
Strictly speaking, Michael Moore's charge is incorrect. Deserter is a precise legal term reserved for those who've been court-martialed and found guilty under Article 85 of the Uniform Code of Military Justice. So President Bush, who received an honorable discharge in 1973, is definitely not a deserter according to that definition. His critics, however, question whether Bush was a deserter in principle. Article 85 of the Uniform Code defines a deserter as someone who fails to report for duty with the intent to remain away therefrom permanently. Prosecutors can demonstrate that intent in a court-martial by presenting evidence that the accused ditched his military uniforms, bought a bus ticket out of town, or remarked to a friend that he was never, ever heading back to base. Then there's a lesser transgression of being absent without leave. The military usually differentiates AWOL cases from desertions by considering how long the accused stays away. According to a 2002 report by the U.S. Army Research Institute, a missing soldier is considered AWOL until the 31st day of his absence. At that time, his status is changed to what's called dropped from roles, the administrative term for desertion. Whether President Bush's behavior during his National Guard service could be viewed as desertion or AWOL depends on who you ask. His allies and critics alike seem to agree that Bush's service record was clean until May of 1972. When he left the Houston base where he was stationed to work on a Republican senatorial campaign in Alabama. The sticking point is whether Bush ever reported for duty with the 187th Tactical Recon Group, based in Montgomery, Alabama, as he was supposed to. Bush claims that he did, though he admits to missing a few required weekends of service. Bush asserts that he made up that time when he returned to Texas the following year. But questions remain. While several Bush friends have insisted that they remember him attending drills in Montgomery, in the year 2000, the commander of the 187th told the Boston Globe that he has no recollection of Bush's presence. There's not likely to be a final answer on this issue that satisfies both sides. It's become a permanent partisan lightning rod, with organizations on both right and left sticking with their own stories on the commander-in-chief's time with the Air National Guard.
Brendan Koerner is a fellow at the New America Foundation. He writes explainers for Slate and Day to Day. Christopher Caldwell back with us. What do you make of these allegations against President Bush and the way that this is being raised?
Well, the president's record in the Vietnam era is a liability. It's somewhere between the big liability that President Clinton had for his own conduct and the lesser liability that Dan Quayle had. In Clinton's case, he went through all sorts of contortions to avoid the draft. In Quayle's case, he took a National Guard posting that allowed him to avoid combat. Clearly, President Bush did not send himself up for selection with a perfect willingness to go to Vietnam, as John Kerry did. But that said, I think that the way this issue came up did hurt Wesley Clark. I think Wesley Clark knows perfectly well what desertion is, and there's become a sort of taboo in the Democratic Party about even saying anything neutral about President Bush. It seems that this is one lasting legacy of the Dean boom of 6 to 9 months ago, is that every Democrat thinks now that the gold mine in the primaries is to take the most extremely anti-Bush position possible, and I think that that will hurt them all in the general election.
Christopher Caldwell, senior editor at the Weekly Standard. Chris, thanks for joining us again on Day to Day.
Thank you, Alex.